This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you have a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Soup. I'm Rob, that's Soup.
With Ray.
Ryan Buckley is here, continuing to not listen to the program.
No. Wait, what did I do today?
Nothing, but we just assumed.
Why are you going there?
Coming up.
Buckley catching strays for not doing anything other than not listening to the program.
Tiger Woods has a new love.
Boy, this is a bit of an upset.
And I tell you, Texas sports is having a moment. I don't know if you've been reading up on the things going on at Texas.
Like UT?
UT, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A big one today.
Yeah, sports betting scandal. And then I just saw a new one come across the wire of a Texas athlete heckling Roy McIlroy and being kicked out of TPC Sawgrass.
Oh.
I saw the video of that. I did not realize it was a Texas athlete.
Yeah.
And also Rory's reaction, very strange.
Yes. Yeah, it was a
really weird moment.
A lot of
scandal. Did you see the Norwegian ski jumping scandal?
No.
Yeah, the Norwegians are they're facing some serious sanctions right now. Apparently, in the world of ski jumping, they've enlarged their crotches. True story.
Well, why? What does that do?
More surface area for like aerodynamics, like the wind catching it.
Kind of creating a little spoiler off your dong.
Yeah, they have been caught enlarging the crotch
wow.
of their ski jumpers, and it's got the ski jumping world abuzz.
Well, that's genius.
Yeah.
Because they're not checking that, right?
No.
I've never seen
you just
so
think
much
like,
dong
hey,
in my life. Wow.
Yeah. Apparently all the Norwegians are walking out there and everyone's like, damn, man. The Norwegians packing heat and they're great ski jumpers. Turns out, fake.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like the old, remember the old Wizenator?
Yeah.
I think that was an Oregon Duck, wasn't
Ontario
that?
Like,
Ontario Smith. Got caught with the Wizenator. Apparently the Norwegians are all about the aerodynamic Wizenator.
Would that work in any other sport?
An enlarged crotch?
Yeah.
I guess if you did it like in MMA or boxing, because if you get hit in the junk, you get extra time. So if you had like an enlarged crotch, you could claim to get hit in the crotch more, and then you would get your breaks, and the other person could get disqualified.
What about a catcher? Just, you know, maybe a better target? Bigger target?
I mean, I don't think you want it hit there more.
Well, no, I mean, you still got your mitt. I'm just saying, like...
How is it helping?
Well, it's a better... It's like
a blocker?
Is it
the
just
pitcher's like...
You could, no passed ball will ever get by me. Goalies, right? Because that's the... In hockey, they call it the five hole. In between the goalie's pads, what if he just has a giant...
They just let it hang down?
Yeah, he's just got a giant crotch.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You've eliminated the five hole.
Could you trip someone on the, like, could you, you know, You're a football player. You trip someone with.
Just Google largest penis in the world and the dude pops up.
There was a defensive lineman at the combine a couple years ago that it came out when he was running.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. He was running and he was just running in spandex, no shorts, and it just.
A little floppidopolis?
Yeah. I secretly think that he did that on purpose because. Dude, that guy was generated some good buzz after that. He was a talented prospect.
It's like that dude in the was it a French guy or who was it in the Olympics? The guy who knocked the pole vaulter off with his dong.
The dude had such an impressive dong that it knocked the bar off.
Like I might not have won the event, but won the hearts of some ladies with
that thing. Some of the finest research ever done here at the Fan is Jordan Schultz watching that video over and over to try to determine whether it was his balls or his penis.
And we did come to the conclusion.
It was the dong.
It was the dong.
I think it only took like one view to realize that, though.
He spent a lot of time.
But he made sure.
Yeah, he was digging around in there.
All right. That's what's coming up. A lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Round one at the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. Some call this the fifth major in golf. Lucas Glover birdied the last four holes en route to a buttery little 6-under-66.
Not too shabby.
He is tied with two guys. Camilo Villegas. You remember him?
I do not. Should I?
Yeah, he had a moment there a while back.
He had a moment. He was known for reading the greens like Spider-Man. He did that on all four.
He's that guy.
I remember that guy.
He also,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, he's been around. He's kind of an older guy now, but he's up there as also is J.J. Spahn. By the way, Camilo Villegas lost a daughter to, I don't know whether it was cancer or some illness. The episode of him and his wife on the new season of Full Swing, definitely worth a watch. Oh, he is a good dude.
Yeah.
That is a good dude right there. And he's been through a lot. One back are Billy Horschel, Minwoo Lee, Akshay Bhatia, and Rory McIlroy. Right where he wants to be. Right, Sook?
What do we do?
Number four.
Tiger lurking.
Yeah, the Tiger is on the prowl. What do we like?
Scottie Scheffler lurking at 3-under.
There you go.
Tied for 19.
Where's my guy Hideki?
He had a bad day.
Awesome.
Yeah, two over. Sports author John Feinstein has passed away at the age of 68. He has over 40 books, including A Good Walk Spoiled and A Season on the Brink. Great dude.
He wrote my favorite sports book ever, A Civil War. I read it in high school and started my love affair with the Army-Navy game. And he would come on the program from time to time back in the day to promote his books and was a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, as you know, we don't do a lot of sports interviews here because a lot of sports people are dull and boring.
Yeah.
But he was not. He was a very interesting and thoughtful guy.
Yes.
And he has gone far too soon. And it sounds like it was sudden. They haven't said what happened.
Yeah, they said it wasn't like a long illness or whatever. They just sudden passing.
He was at his brother's house.
The world a worse place today with no John Feinstein.
Number three.
The Seahawks, one of three teams most interested in Rams cast-off Cooper Kupp, also mentioned by Adam Schefter, Denver and New England. Schefter did say in all, 12 teams have shown at least some interest.
Yeah, Kupp can be a solid number two, maybe bump down to a three. I mean, he's not what he was, but... he's still a very useful player. It'd be interesting to see whether he wants fit, whether he wants to chase a Super Bowl, what sort of role does he want. But there's still some life in that, as long as you don't think you're getting prime Cooper Kupp. Or I don't think people appreciate the 10 years he had in L.A. He was a Triple Crown winner. That year they went to the Super Bowl, Cooper Kupp, receptions, yards, and touchdowns.
A couple of minor moves to tell you about. Raheem Mostert, running back of the Dolphins, is moving on to the Raiders' one-year deal. Quarterback Mason Rudolph returns to the Steelers, 2-year deal.
I saw this morning, they're like, Steelers get quarterback. I was like, Aaron Rodgers? No, Mason Rudolph.
Mace. It's the Mace Plumlee model.
Yeah.
Also, Gardner Minshew will now be the backup to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
The mullet has a new home.
Great fit.
Watch out, Mahomes.
Well, when he inevitably turns an ankle at some point, you'll get Minshew for a game and a half, and everyone will love it.
Minshew will make himself $40 million on the spot.
It's good to
He'll have a couple good games and get paid by the...
That is a great story, though. Remember, that guy was going to Alabama to be a GA when Mike Leach called and was like, I think you can still play.
I think what Leach asked him is, would you rather be the leading passer in the country and instead...
And look at him now.
Well, it's a huge blow to Duke at the ACC tournament as Cooper Flagg rolled his ankle against Georgia Tech. He had to be helped off the court.
Dude, it looked gnarly.
X-rays were negative. Devils did win the game 78-70. They also lost Malik Brown, backup center. He dislocated his shoulder in the game.
Yeah, so not good.
Not good at all.
So saying Coop's not going to play in the rest of the ACC tournament. If you saw
that, say that, but he's not.
He's not playing.
It's going to be dicey next week.
Yeah. So fingers crossed, because you know whatever you think of Duke, you want Cooper Flagg in this tournament. I mean, he's been so good, and so is Duke all year.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, the Ducks took care of business, as heard here on The Fan at the Big Ten tournament this morning, handling Indiana 72-59, 18 for Shellstad, 17 for Bamba. Oregon's now won 8 in a row, and it sets up a meeting with top-seeded Michigan State tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here on The Fan.
That's right. Right after a shortened Durton's break. Can we talk about the main story in college basketball today, though?
Minnesota firing their coach?
Yeah, which is a bit odd. Why don't you do that before the tournament? No, I'm talking about the new king of the Big 12.
BYU?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a big win today. They in the Big 12 tournament, they beat Iowa State 96-92. Other finals in the SEC, two overtimes. Texas got a win over Texas A&M 94-89, which could put Texas in the tournament.
Yeah, that was the big one. They were saying they needed a decent tournament run to secure their spot.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin 70, Northwestern 63. In the Big East, Marquette got by Xavier 89-87. St. John's blasted Butler 78-57. Houston is number two in the country. They beat Colorado 77-68, and they will play BYU tomorrow. And then we have a couple games in progress. Texas Tech in the Big 12 leads Baylor 60-46. Illinois in the Big 10 leads Iowa 92-76. And Missouri, six-point lead on Mississippi State early in the SEC.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm a little nervous about that one. BYU has looked really good at the end of the year. Looks like they maybe secured themselves a 5 seed. Yeah, they played Houston earlier this year, and they beat us by 31.
Yeah, revenge game tomorrow.
We're only going to lose by 28 this time.
Victorico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorico's.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. We'll talk about the impact of Cooper Flagg being out, sports betting scandal at Texas, and Tiger Woods' new love, all coming up on The Fan. Yeah, I'm looking here at tomorrow's point spreads for you. The Houston Cougs favored over the BYU Cougs in Kansas City, 7.5.
Yeah. See, that's...
Previous game, 86-55.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. And they just absolutely annihilated us. That was like when the people were like, is BYU good? And I remember tuning into that one, and it just... I mean, it was over fast. But, you know, they're playing well. That may be a no-touchy for me. 7.5? I don't have that much faith.
Yeah. BYU is definitely legit. There's no question about that.
I'm not used to this good at basketball thing right now.
But Houston is...
Yeah.
They might be the best team in the country if...
If Flagg's down.
If Flagg's down. And Flagg is down. And look, that... I tell you what, I'm with you, man. Nobody likes Duke, okay?
No.
But...
That's not what you want.
No. Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man. Like, he... Of all the freshmen that have come through in over the last... God. I mean, 15 years?
Very few of them live up to
They're never worth a watch like this guy. And he is awesome if you haven't seen him play. And it's just, I think a lot of fans would be like, normally they'd be like, screw you, Duke. Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, because
he is really, like, dude, it was bad. And we all know how ankles are. and that even though x-rays were negative, he's not going to be right for a month.
No, no way.
It doesn't mean he can't play, but it he's just not.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a pseudo sprain. He was up there, you know, 3-4 feet, came down like on the toe, rolled underneath. I couldn't believe it's not broken.
And that's the thing now is, regardless of whether he actually is able to go out there and give them something, we are now never going to get the full Cooper Flag March Madness experience likely.
Well, and I remember Carmelo Anthony leading Syracuse to a national championship, and that just doesn't happen with true freshmen. Like you said, most of the time the true freshmen, they're just not ready, and they may go on to be great NBA players, but very rarely do you see a freshman carry a team like that. And Flag had been all that was advertised and more. So, yeah, no one dislikes Duke more than me, but that really bummed me out because I was looking forward to watching Duke in the tournament with Cooper.
However, it does selfishly help my Houston to win it all ticket that I have in my pocket.
That probably does help. Are you the one responsible for this?
For what?
The Cooper Flag
injury? Oh, no. I would want them to beat them fair and square.
Did you go Galooly on there? Someone, because he landed on, although it kind of looked like maybe he landed on his own guy's foot.
Yeah. Just one of those
freak things.
I hate watching those too. When a guy lands wrong on his ankle, it's just like, because we've all done that. It's so freaking painful.
That's why I don't play basketball anymore.
So the spread the first time around was 10.5, Houston BYU.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I think
so. Now it's only 7.5.
I think they covered. I think they covered that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not touching it. But it's been this is the fun time of the year for college basketball. And I know these tournaments for a lot of the schools don't mean anything, but this is when you really start to pay attention. And then come the bracket, you get to pretend that you know anything about any of these teams.
Yeah, next week we'll be on here as experts.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I saw the, you know,
watched them twice, and let me tell you. Duke playing North Carolina tomorrow without Cooper Flagg. Mm-hmm. And Brown, who got hurt, they're still 7.5-point favorites.
Well, is North Carolina even making the tournament? Because I saw...
They're making a run at it.
They're making a run at it. Because I want to say it was, I don't know, maybe 2-3 days ago, they had them as the last team. They were one of the last four teams out, not in. So does North Carolina need a win over Duke?
Yeah, they would. In? I think if North Carolina wins this game, even though Flag is out...
That gets them in?
I think it's... Yeah, because they've gone on a run. They look a lot better now.
Right now, the ESPN bracketology does have them in the last four in.
Okay, so they're right there.
So they could solidify it with a win over Duke. And then your Duckies tomorrow morning on the Fan, 5.5-point underdogs to Michigan State. Now, you remember, they went to Michigan State.
They played a good game.
They did play a good game.
They played a good half.
They were up at halftime. But Michigan State absolutely got on one of those weird college basketball momentum runs, and Oregon just could not stop it.
Well,
and they got smoked.
Oregon was in the middle of it. Was like a 5 or 6 game losing streak, and they went back. They remember they played. It was like Michigan State. They did get that big one over Wisconsin to kind of break it. But yeah, that was a tough little road trip. They went through a weird stretch in the middle of the season, as Dana Altman is known to do. But this is what Oregon does: is Oregon gets hot at the right time. And there was a taste of the number. They were like plus 2,800 to win the Big Ten tournament at the start of this thing. You probably still get them at some favorable odds if you want to take a ride on
them. If they beat Michigan State, it ain't going to be plus 2,800.
No, it's not.
So they beat, after that, you're right, after that Michigan State, those two losses on the road, they had lost 5 in a row at that point. They have since not lost. They've won 8 in a row. They beat Northwestern, Rutgers, Iowa, Wisconsin, USC, Indiana, Washington, and then Indiana again today.
And I will say that none of those teams are any good, minus Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's a good team, and I think that one went into overtime or double OT?
That one was just overtime.
Yeah, it was overtime.
They stormed back. They were down like 17.
Yeah, they were down big, and they came roaring back. So therein lies the question for Oregon is... Is this the vintage Dana Altman run, or is this you are playing bad teams? Like Northwestern scored like 50 against them in a half.
I feel like it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
They're playing better.
The Iowa game was funky. Remember, that was the one where they tried to give away at the end. I mean, this hasn't necessarily been smooth sailing.
They're playing better, but I think I don't have a lot of faith in them.
Yeah.
You know, when push comes to shove, I mean, they could win a game or two in the tournament, but I just, if you're talking,
I'll see you in the Sweet 16.
If you're thinking Final Four, I don't know, dude.
No. This team doesn't have that, but Dana has proven enough times that with enough talent, he can get them through the first weekend and find a way to push that team through the first weekend, and I think he'll do it again.
Yeah, that's a team that if I'm a, so what are they going to be? Probably.
I think they said they're going to be somewhere in the 10 to 12 line.
Really?
Right.
Oregon?
Wasn't Oregon that?
Oh,
no, right now they're a five.
Yeah. Oh, they're a five. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They were on the that was the 5-12.
The 5-12.
5-12 line.
So if they, they should win. I mean, you know, obviously they're favored to win the first game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 5-12 is the classic upset line. Who knows?
And then
but,
you get a 5-4 matchup.
Likely. Yeah, 5-4. You know, that is not a five I'd want to play. Like, in other words, like thinking about some of the other potential fives, like I'm just thinking about Kansas.
Yeah.
I would much rather play Kansas than Oregon.
This one has it that Oregon would face Clemson.
Which I know.
Which would be tough for the Ducks, I think.
Clemson. That's tough. They're
good.
Yeah.
But other fours include Maryland, Wisconsin, and Purdue.
Ooh, Wisconsin rematch?
Yeah, there you go.
Haven't they played Wisconsin twice in the tournament in the last handful of years?
They play them in the tournament like every other year, it feels like.
What was the last one you mentioned? The other
Purdue.
See, they could beat Purdue. Didn't they already play Purdue? I think Purdue came into Oregon and beat
them. Well, obviously
Purdue
this stuff shuffles around, so then looking at like five seeds too, you're looking at like Ole Miss, Arizona.
Actually, I think Purdue smacked him pretty good, if I remember.
Yeah, I think they got him in Eugene. But I would say, just like with BYU and Oregon, teams like that, not necessarily with the Houstons and the Dukes, but with teams like BYU and Oregon, it's all about matchups.
Sure. We could see a BYU-Oregon 4-5
matchup. Yeah, because there's some talk that BYU right now is sitting on that 5 seed, depending on what happens. If
juicy.
Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be cool. I think I'd take your Cougs.
Let's go.
Richie Saunders, baby.
Yeah. More importantly, king of the tater tots. We found out that the Saunders family is responsible for the tater. What's more all-American than a white kid with a headband at BYU that comes from big tater tot money?
All right, up next, trouble at Texas. Here's Buck.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what's going on at the University of Texas, but it's Thunderdome down there. Got a couple of stories here for you, Jace, babes.
That's supposed to be like College Xanadu, right?
Yeah.
More money than anywhere else in any college program. Biggest brand.
So the University of Texas golfer Luke Potter, mm-hmm. has apologized today after he reportedly was removed from the grounds at TPC Sawgrass for heckling star golfer Rory McIlroy.
Who knew he could get heed for heckling Rory?
Video of the incident spread on social media. McIlroy, playing a practice round on Tuesday, hit a drive on the 18th hole into the water. And then he immediately turned around, walked over to Potter, who was standing outside the ropes, and asked for his cell phone, took it away, and walked away.
Go find the clip, Sook. It's strange.
It is very weird.
Huh.
Wasn't clear in the video what Potter said, but Golf.com is reporting that he referenced the 2011 Masters when McIlroy melted down on the back nine Sunday, shot an 80, and finished 10 shots behind winner Charles Schwartzel.
So that's enough to get you kicked out?
Apparently Rory's still sensey about it.
But if you can't hear the audio with it, Rory, like, beelines to him off the tee box, walks over there, goes, hey, can I see that for a second? And just casually takes his phone and walks the other direction.
Yeah, Golf.com also reported that Potter was later escorted out of the course. His phone was returned.
Well, no offense to Rory McIlroy, but if this is so fascinating.
Isn't it weird?
If I'm heckling someone and they come over to me and be like, hey, give me your phone. Yeah. Guess
you're
what
not
I'm not doing?
I know.
You're not getting my phone.
He hands it to him.
It appeared this kid Potter had no idea Rory was walking over, and he was just like almost surprised by it. It was like,
Dude, I am watching this right now, and my mind is blown.
And I feel like Rory wanted to do something like either push him or cuss him out, and then like kind of brain locked and didn't know what else to do, so he just snatched his phone.
By the way, you're not allowed to do that.
Look,
and I appreciate golf, and I get there's decorum there, but God, sometimes
the whole interaction's very weird.
Sometimes golfers are the biggest pansies on earth.
Yeah, they're very sensey.
They're all very
up in their own head.
No kidding.
But
now, it's one thing if someone is taunting you while you're swinging or whatever, that's one thing. But if you shank one into the woods and some kid says something, my God, Rory.
Yeah. So the kid Potter, in the video, Rory hits the shot, goes in the water.
Yeah.
And he just walks over to Potter, who really isn't paying attention that Rory is walking towards him. That's kind of why he got the phone, is that this Potter kid, his head was buried in his phone. He was texting.
Or he texted his friends.
Yeah, you should hear what I just said. And then Rory just took the phone and starts walking with it and looking at it as if it's his. He's like scrolling through it.
Yeah.
So he got the phone back, but here's what Potter said.
What was Rory looking for?
He said, Potter told Golf Channel, look, I just made a mistake. And I take ownership for it. I apologize for it. That's all about that. That's about all that needs to be said. It's just a good learning experience. Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah.
The Texas golf coach, John Fields, has responded.
Mm-hmm.
And he said of Potter, he's got a hole in his heart. He had no idea that what was coming out of his mouth was going to result in this fashion. With regards to our program, I mean, it's an embarrassing moment. It is particularly sensitive to me because our program is built on respect for the game.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that we coach 18 to 22-year-olds on a normal basis, and they don't always make the right call. And that's my responsibility as a coach. And when they do make a mistake, it's a learning moment.
Now, do we have audio of what the kid actually said?
No one knows.
Because, look, I understand. Someone's down here saying, don't excuse heckling. Look, I'm not trying to excuse heckling. And the kid was probably being a douche. Don't get me wrong.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah. But I would be interested to know what he said to him. And you can be a douche, but it doesn't mean that you should get kicked out simply for being a douche, nor does it give someone the right to come over to you and take your property.
It sounds like it was something along the lines of just like 2011 at Augusta, like that.
Like
because he hit that ball way left in the trees.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If that's what was said, dude, as much as this kid was a douche, Rory's a bitch. So, like, which is worse, being a douche for saying just like at Augusta or being such a bitch that you freak out over something that some college kid says to you when you're supposed to be one of the greatest golfers of all time? I'm not sure which is worse. Yeah, the kid, I'd be embarrassed if I was the kid. I'd also be embarrassed if I'm Rory.
I think, too, you're a golfer at Texas, and that's a big-time golf program.
Yeah, it is.
Like, dude, you got to be better than
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't buy that he has a hole in his heart. If Rory meant so much to you, why are you talking crap to him?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that this kid deserved to get his phone snatched, and, like, Rory's reaction was stupid, but, like, this kid can't be that upset that Rory didn't like what he said after he deliberately said something that Rory wouldn't like.
Yeah, and they said, I think you're right.
Buckley, he did say, it sounds like he yelled just like 2011 at Augusta on that one particular shot. So anyway, they said he's already written a letter of apology to McIlroy. But that's, you know, him being a profile, like if he goes anywhere in golf,
yeah, you don't want
that's going to stick to him.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're just like, if it's you some dip-ass in the crowd, but you're right. If you're a big-time player and your goal is to play on the tour, it's like when you go back and they, like NBA guys, when they read their like high school tweets and they're ripping on LeBron or something, you're like,
shouldn't have said that.
Sorry about that.
Also at Texas, we have a sports betting scandal now.
Yeah. Well, these are coming like left and right.
Yeah, and I don't think people really care about them.
Well, no. I think the idea is that people have always been gambling on these sorts of things, and at least now they're getting caught because these things are so regulated, it's hard to get away with them.
Yeah, so Texas had to self-report 5 NCAA violations in relation to sports betting that took place between July and November of last year. They said five people total, 15,000 US dollars in impermissible bets as a group. The wagers were placed with the daily fantasy sports website Prize Picks, which is legal in Texas. And of course, per NCAA rule, players, coaches, staff, you cannot bet at all.
It's the same thing as being a professional athlete. This is why, like, none of this stuff bothers me. Look, it's like anything else. There's rules in place. We know there's things that are legal out there, but if you want to do certain things, like be a professional athlete or a collegiate athlete, you don't get to gamble. So, like, when Jameis Williams and those Lions got busted, there's no sympathy. You know what you're not supposed to do. So when you get caught with it, I don't blame gambling. I blame the dumbasses for having no self-control.
So three guys, two were non-student athletes. One was an assistant in the athletic department, and they actually ended that person's, he was non-paid. He was just like a...
And he was just done.
He had a role.
Yeah, they're like, it's over.
They were like, yeah, bye.
Yeah.
The other were football players.
Yeah.
And it says one of the football players was deemed ineligible, but was ultimately reinstated. That player was required to pay back the value of the wagers to a charity of his choosing. The other football player reportedly had a problem with sports betting.
Ah.
And he had placed an estimated $9,600 in impermissible wagers while attending school at Texas. In addition, two of his bets were placed on Texas basketball.
So he's done.
That player ended up leaving Texas and stopped his college football career.
Yeah.
So the athletic department did not penalize him.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm out.
Thanks for coming.
But I tell you what, though, man, I think we've talked about this before. If you're a student athlete, if you're a football player, basketball player, and you're around other teams' athletes, and you know those teams, maybe you go to their games or whatever.
Easy.
Totally easy.
But this is why I'm saying, like, I just hate the, we can't have something because the temptation is too great. That's on you, man. Self-accountability. And if you want to do it, you roll the dice. It's like anyone else. We all have a million decisions we get to make in our life. And we all know there's consequences to those decisions. You want to cheat on your wife? That's your choice. You want to cheat on your taxes? You want to rob a liquor store? All of that. All that stuff's available to you. But don't then come crawling to me and being like, well, I made a terrible mistake and I didn't know what I was doing. Yes, you did.
Yeah, to me, it's a little bit like somebody saying that we should all stop driving because someone got caught with a speeding ticket. Well, if you're the one speeding and you're the one breaking the rules, there are going to be consequences to that. But for the rest of, you know, the rest of the people who aren't breaking those rules and are kind of doing it by the letter of the law, like, there's no problem.
It's just the people that demonize gambling and they're like, oh my God, like, well, I'm sorry. Gambling has always been a thing. I'm just happy now that it's above board. And now when you sign up, anyone that knows when you sign up to one of these things, you can't use fake identities. It requires real names. It requires real bank accounts. Like there's no, I mean, the only thing you could do is you could use someone else and place their bets through them. But most of these kids aren't doing that. They have their own, there was an NFL player that his name was in the, I think it was an LSU player.
Oh, no, he's in the NFL now.
He's in the NFL now.
It's Butte. Keyshawn Butte?
Yeah,
is that his
and
name?
His thing was like Keyshawn Butte, like 6'8", 6'8". His name was in his title.
And he was betting on his own props.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, I don't know how many of these student athlete or the kids players know this, but the NCAA is in bed with companies, and these schools are in bed with companies that cross-reference these betting companies are giving all the information like login information,
they're sharing
and
it back
data
and
births and everything that you have to put in there. They're sharing it with the NCAA. And then they're just, these companies just cross reference. And if somebody's date of birth pops up or name pops up, they got you.
Because the these things are so regulated that all of the gambling places are terrified of getting hit with a major scandal. Can you imagine if we had, let's take the Chris Webber thing, right? Back in the day, if you believe that Chris Webber was in deep with the Sharks and he called timeout and threw the national championship game, if you had something like that, that potentially could lead a state to ban gambling and just like, you know what? We're done with this. We're not doing it.
Well, in a company like DraftKings, they just turned a profit for the first time in their 12-year history or whatever it is.
So
like,
they
need to be above board.
Yeah, they are not screwing around. These companies are not going to allow this crap to go on. They want everything above board. And so, like you said, everyone is sharing information. So if you do this, you will get caught. And eventually, I hope some of these numbskulls figure it out. How many of these scandals do we have to have before someone's like, yeah, we probably shouldn't do this.
It's also not that hard to, because you have to load these accounts with money ahead of time, right?
Yep.
They're not credit books.
No.
So you have to have the money ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Just withdraw the money and give it to your buddy.
Exactly.
And bet through his account. They're not catching that, are they? I mean, maybe they could. If you're
the baseball coach. He was getting information to his buddy.
Well, but they were fixing games.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about just because he was giving him information. Like that was bad.
He's giving him injury information.
Yeah. I'm just talking about like, oh, I want to bet on, you know, this game between Texas Tech and Baylor that I'm watching here. Yeah. I'm a student athlete at Texas. It's illegal for me to do it. Just give the money to somebody who has an account.
You would think.
You morons.
Yeah. But that's the problem is some of these guys are just, they're just dum-dums. So, you know, I don't have any sympathy for anyone that gets caught. And my thing is, I don't want any leniency either. You get caught gambling, thanks for coming. Bye. Go. Bye-bye.
Everyone knows what the rules are before they do it.
That's why the whole Pete Rose thing always drove me crazy when we sat here and we were like, hasn't Pete paid the price? No. When you know that something is a lifetime, especially baseball, that's the one sport that ever got caught actually throwing a World Series. We all know if you are in Major League Baseball, the one cardinal sin is you can't bet on baseball. And yet that jackass was so blatant about it and everyone knew about it and he kept doing it. And then he gets caught and then he's upset that they won't let him into the Hall of Fame. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you did it anyways and then you want sympathy for it. No, I'm done.
You see your fearless leader is now trying to get him into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, this is, of course, why not? Well, what is this? He's dead.
If you do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
I think there's a push to get him in.
Well,
posthumously.
At least for me, if he does get in, at least he didn't get to see it. Because I think Pete Rose is a garbage human or was a garbage human being that did the haven't I paid my price? No.
I've heard people ask, does the lifetime ban basically go away at the end of his
life?
He's
dead.
Well, and that's fine because, again, he does it. But that guy wanted more than anything else to be in the Hall of Fame. But you did the one thing that the only thing that could have kept Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame was that. And he still did it. So I have zero sympathy for any of these people.
All right, Tiger Woods has a new love. That's next on The Fan. Well, you know, we're fascinated with Tiger Woods' love life. He never met a whore he didn't like.
Wow.
What? It's true.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I like the tatted up whore too.
Elin, Perkins waitresses.
Wasn't Elin, by the way, wasn't she Jasper Parnevik's nanny?
Yes. That's how he met her.
I am shocked that old Jasper's wife let him hire a Swedish bikini model to be their nanny. Like women that are able to like work their way into those circles, it's fascinating. Like you see those girls and they date like 9 different athletes. They're married to like 3 of them, like those basketball wives. You're like, man. And the athletes keep falling for it.
Well, anyway, Lindsey Vonn he dated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he had this latest gal who was, I think, maybe a GM at one of his restaurants or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Erica something rather.
And I don't know if this is confirmed, but the story that was being reported, and if it is true, it's the greatest move in Tiger Woods history. He wanted her to leave the house and he didn't want to have a confrontation. So he told her that pack your bags, we're going on this amazing trip. I'll meet you at the airport with the private plane. And then when she got to the private plane, Tiger was back at the house and had moved out all her stuff and changed the locks. That's when she sued him, right? She claimed that Tiger had promised to take care of her, and she sued him for like $15 million. And
she promptly dropped that.
Yeah,
Tiger won that battle. Yeah. Although he probably paid her a bunch of money to go away.
Probably. I'm just saying the idea of her getting to the airport and like being no plane, and then like Tiger Woods' assistant is like, "Sorry about the ruse, lady, but here's all your stuff in a U-Haul, and thanks for coming."
Well, the latest is that Tiger is dating Vanessa Trump.
Yes,
and Vanessa Trump, of all the Trumps,
she's not a real Trump.
No, she's not.
She, Trump by marriage.
Yeah, her maiden name is Pergolesi.
Yeah, hey.
And she's been linked with Leonardo DiCaprio in the past. She was dating a Saudi prince, and then he was connected to Al-Qaeda, and she kind of was like, whoa, 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 whoa. She backed off of that. She's had quite a history. She is Don Jr.'s ex.
Yeah.
And they have five kids together.
Yeah.
Notably, Kai Trump, who is the young golfer.
Yeah. And that, I'm assuming that's kind of how they met?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they both live in Florida.
This is kind of what I'm talking about. So this Vanessa Trump, like...
I like the line that what started as a friendship blossomed.
Well...
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of a, like, Tiger, that's an impressive friends. Run. Like, she married into the POTUS's, like, family.
Yeah.
She's dating some Saudi, you know, some Saudi billionaire guy. Who else was on that list?
So Leo DiCaprio.
Leo DiCaprio and now Tiger. This is what I'm saying is like gals like this, man, like their resume, their ability to work their way into the elites, it's kind of amazing.
I don't know who this is, but it says that she dated local street gangster Valentin Rivera.
What?
Do you know who that is?
Well, local. No, I'm not familiar with the local Miami street gangs.
Well, what do you, Miami? I don't know. This was in her teenage years. I don't know where was she from?
I don't know. I was assuming Florida. So I don't know.
I think she was born in New York.
She dated like one of the vice lords or something? Like the Bandidos? I don't know.
She was linked to Leonardo DiCaprio. Vanessa dated Saudi Prince Khalid bin Bandar bin Sultan Al Saud.
Do you think Tiger's like a step down? She's like, really, this is your yacht?
It's possible she has that thought.
She's disgusted with what Tiger's bringing to the table.
On November 12th, 2005, she married Donald Trump Jr. The wedding was at Mar-a-Lago.
Like you said, they got a whole host of kids here.
Trump Jr. had proposed to her with a $100,000 ring that he had received as a gift from a jeweler in exchange for proposing to her in front of paparazzi outside of the jeweler store in New Jersey.
Hey, getting that deal, man.
No way. Vanessa filed for divorce in 2018. So they were married 13 years. They have the five kids, including Kai. And now Tiger's getting it in.
Well, I mean, Tiger doesn't make the best choices in the world, but maybe... Maybe Vanessa Trump is, maybe she's all that in a bag of chips. I don't know. Think he, like, hangs out? Like, is Tiger is he a Trumper? Wayne Gretzky is. I saw that. Gretzky's, like, a big Trump guy. So maybe that's Donald's thing, is he's just conquering the sports world. One goat at a time.
One legend at a time.
Yeah.
I guess
Canadians were pissed because of, like, the Four Nations thing. Yeah, Gretzky is all about Trump and was, like, hanging out with the Americans. So I guess, like, I mean, he's the closest thing Canada has to, like, a superhero, and all the Canadians are pissed at him now.
I don't know what Vanessa Trump is bringing to the table, okay? Probably great things, like you said.
Sure.
But I would have a real problem being Tiger Woods and snatching seconds from Don Jr. I'm sorry.
Five kids.
No, because you know now he's in your life.
Yes,
he's the daddy. He's
maybe they hang Kai's out. Dad. I don't know.
Oh God,
maybe they're besties.
Yeah, maybe Don Jr. thinks it's super cool.
Oh, I guarantee you, Don Jr. does.
Right? I mean,
wouldn't you?
Yeah,
Freaking Woods.
I don't know. Does Tiger seem kind of lame to you?
Yes, I guarantee you he's lame. But he's a bit. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Do you think Kai is pumped? She's like, my new stepdad might be Tiger Woods.
Yes, because isn't she like
a
superstar
golfer? Yeah, she plays at Florida State.
Yeah, I guarantee you she's like, oh my God, mom.
Way to go,
nice
mom.
Nice get.
It's no Saudi prince, but all right, let's go.
Yeah, what must she think?
It's just a weird world that those people all live in, man. It's just
Trump has a mother who has dated a Saudi prince, the son of the president.
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods.
And apparently a notable Miami or New York street gang member.
I mean, come on.
It's an impressive run. Can I also say, too, like, look, I just...
She's 17, dude.
No. I'm talking about Vanessa.
Okay. She's 47.
Vanessa. Yeah, I just thought, for Tiger, it's age-appropriate, and it's kind of... She's not, like... I just thought Tiger would have gone down the 20-something, right? Like...
He doesn't do that.
No, he's it's very age appropriate and it's kind of hotness level appropriate.
Yeah, you're right. They do kind of seem like they could match.
Yes.
He's not the guy that's going around with the 25-year-old arm candy that everyone's like, gee, I wonder how that happened.
Well, wasn't that the whole thing during his big scandal was...
Yeah, they were all kind
of... He always wanted to... He really wanted to connect with all of them. Like he was... Yeah. He was a sad man.
Perkins waitresses. Although some of those were like in porn and whatever.
Well, it's just opportunity.
I just thought he'd be like, you know... Just thought maybe he'd be more of the Mark Davis type.
No.
He's Tiger Woods, for God's sake.
He is, but it's proximity and ease.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanessa Trump, come on down.
Didn't one of them say he, like...
He's a sad, weird guy.
He brought over Subway or something wanted to just sit and talk to her and eat Subway with her.
Yeah, he's socially awkward.
And she was like, oh, dude, all I want to do is hump you.
Well,
and he's like, well, tell me about your feelings. God, what a weird scandal. The whole Tiger thing.
Remember that documentary that came out and people were talking about kind of his coming of age and being around parties with like other celebrities and superstars and stuff, and that he could not have seemed more like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Not comfortable in that world with those people. Like,
seriously, it is the most still to this day, that is the most shocking scandal in sports. Because nobody suspected that. He's just a golf dork.
Yeah.
And he was laying pipe all over the
East. Over.
The East and the West.
Anything
and the West.
Exactly. Like, Phil Mickelson, maybe. I could see Phil.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
not Tiger.
Phil is, that's predictable.
Yeah.
Isn't the rumor about Phil that he and his wife swing?
No, I think there's a lot of rumors about Phil.
That is the rumor about Phil. Him and Amy.
Yeah.
Ames.
They get down. Well, apparently, like, that's the Dustin Johnson, Paulina Gretzky. The secret world of golfers, apparently that's a thing. The PGA Tour wives and the PGA players, that's a scene.
There's a lot of boredom.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money.
Yeah, what else are you doing?
And there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
A lot of boners.
A lot of boners.
A lot of private planes. A lot of travel.
Well, the guys are gone for long stretches.
Exactly.
Unlike other sports where they come and go more, golfers, I mean, it's weeks at a time.
Yeah. So all the golfers seem all like, they seem all nicey-nice, but you know stuff's up. Soon to be Tiger Woods in the White House.
Already has been. He actually showed up with Jay Monahan and the head of the PIF Live thing. Tiger and all them were going to try to unify the tours with Trump.
Well, who is the Kushner, right? Jared Kushner? What if Tiger's up there with Musk now? He's like, we're writing policy because of Musk and Tiger.
Does Tiger give you confidence? Like, do you think Tiger, I mean, he seems like a pretty smart guy, right?
Stanford man.
I would think, yeah.
I mean, do you think like, could do worse? Like,
God. Apparently Trump wanted to hire Dave Portnoy to run do the U.S. Department of Commerce.
Yes, Dave Portnoy.
And Portnoy said no because he didn't want to give up Barstool.
All you need to know is that I think Linda McMahon.
What is happening?
Vince McMahon's wife is in charge of.
Department of Education.
Yeah, Department of Education. Linda McMahon. That Linda McMahon.
Yeah, Triple H was at her confirmation
ceremony. We could do a lot worse than Tiger Woods.
You could do a lot worse than
creating policy.
Yes. It's a valid point. Touche, sir. Valid point.
All right, the club is next. When you profit from going viral for something that's bad, can you then sue? Next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.